Hi, Kathy Collin-Becker. Welcome to KABU.
Nice to be here.
Kathy Collin-Becker started her career as a journalist, worked at several U.S. papers, developed deep concerns about climate change, that humanity and our system of production and consumption was creating the conditions for our own extinction. Kathy Collin-Becker became chair of the Sierra Club's Ready for 100 campaign, asking cities to commit to 100% renewable energy. The campaign was instrumental in gaining overwhelming voter approval for ballot measures in Ohio, where a city takes over responsibility to supply electricity. Columbus is the 15th largest city in this country, will create the largest clean energy program in the Midwest. Portland has a magnificently illustrated and beautiful, slick plan, which is not being implemented. But Columbus is taking steps that will make it 100% renewable energy in the next 10 years. Kathy Becker, how did that vote happen in a red state, and how does Columbus plan to do it?
Yeah, I've been running the Ready for 100 campaign in Columbus, in Ohio, for about the past 4 years. We've been talking to the city about making a commitment to 100% renewable energy community-wide, not just along city government. And when we first brought it up several years ago, it was kind of looked at like that's impossible. There's no way to do that. But one program that we've been pushing that would get us a long way in that direction is community choice aggregation. So that is a program that it's only legal in 9 states, and Ohio is one. And what it does is it allows cities to negotiate on behalf of their residents and small businesses with utilities to gain a bulk purchase rate for energy. And so there's about 400 cities in Ohio that have already enacted aggregation, most of them not for renewable energy. But Columbus took this a step further. What this means is the city issues a request for proposals to the utilities saying, okay, what price can you give us? And Columbus took it 2 steps further. They said, we want this power through 100% renewable energy, and we want it mostly from local construction of new wind and solar projects. And we want this to generate money for community grants for our low-income neighborhoods. So that's what Columbus put in its RFP. And as you mentioned, Columbus is the largest city in Ohio, the 14th largest in the United States. Ohio is the 6th highest carbon emitting state, so it's really important that Columbus take concrete steps to reduce its carbon emissions. The IPCC says we must cut them in half by 2030. And cities are responsible for 70% of carbon emissions worldwide, which makes sense because, you know, most people live in cities. And the top sources in cities are buildings and transportation. So this will really affect the electricity supply in Columbus coming into homes and residents and just basically most buildings in Columbus. I guess in Ohio, in order to do an aggregation program, you know, you're negotiating on behalf of your residents and businesses, so you have to get approval of the voters to do that. And that's why it went to the ballot. So when Columbus decided to put this aggregation for 100% renewable energy on the ballot, Grove City, which is the largest suburb in Columbus, decided to do the same thing. Ohio, as you said, is a red state now. It used to be much more purple or about half and half, but it's been going more consistently red as a state. Columbus, though, is very Democratic, but Grove City is majority Republican, and yet this ballot initiative passed in both cities, in Columbus by 76% and Grove City by 63%. And so what that says is that this is nonpartisan. People like renewable energy. They understand the need that we have to move to renewables to lower our emissions, to have a sustainable environment, to have a healthier environment without so much air pollution. And then also, because this will be done through local build-out, it's going to create jobs. And Ohio, a lot of cities here are hollowed out by the collapse of manufacturing in the middle class, and this promises to bring some of that back. So this was really something that environmentalists like, that the city likes as workforce development, that the utilities like, because if they win that aggregation contract, then they know they've got those customers. anyone who is covered can opt out, but most people don't, because you get a good price. The more people that are in an aggregation program, the more bargaining power there is, and the better a price you can get on this energy. So this program will roll out a lot of renewable energy at a good price and create jobs, clean our environment, and at the same time, the Columbus program is also going to be generating grants for low-income neighborhoods that will most likely be used for renewable energy or energy efficiency upgrades for residents and businesses.
Columbus already has a net metering programs where people can install solar panels, maybe in some places, small wind turbines, and build them out, and then, in fact, reduce their own utility bills. Did your RFP with the utility provider, it allowed for local energy investment of that kind? Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So people can still put solar panels on their houses. There is a car dealership on the north end of town that has a small wind turbine, and you can absolutely still do that in net metering. That's a state policy, and that is not affected. So people can still do that, and if they generate more energy than they're using, then that goes back onto the grid, and they can get paid for that.
In fact, although the contract is long-term, the city does negotiate the contract. And I suspect the contract can be changed. For example, if in fact the city and its residents thought that they would prefer changing the rates for a kilowatt hour, that is the payments, changing the percentage of it, right now it's 0.1% that would go to the city that could be distributed to neighborhoods. But if they went to 0.3% or even 0.5%, that would be considerable amount of money that could be used for alternative transport of all kinds, of reconstructing the city. Is that a long-term possibility for the Columbus program?
So the grants program that you mentioned, and like you said, it's 0.1% per kilowatt hour. That's what's being added to people's bills. So it ends up being, I don't know, $1 or something, maybe per month, depending on how much power they use. And then that money will be used for community grants. And that grants program is still a lot of it being worked out. A lot of people are really interested in, say, incentives for solar panels. We're also really interested in energy efficiency. And as Ready for 100, we are advocating for a lot of equity work. So, for example, many cities cope with what's called the split incentive, because a lot of low-income people rent, and they rent very inefficient apartments, and they're the ones paying the utility bills, and their utility bills are too high. But it would be the landlords that have to make the upgrades, and they don't have the incentive to do that. So we want some of this money to be used to help, say, low-income apartments make some energy upgrades so people aren't spending as much on utilities, and they have more money to spend on other necessities. Larger things like transit or other sustainable, especially big ticket items, those probably would be elsewhere in the city budget. Columbus has a whole program about transportation called Smart Columbus. They're looking at transportation corridor planning through a program called Link Us, and they're working with the Transit Authority on that, mapping out what will be the main transit corridors where we want to do bus rapid transit or possibly light rail, and have the development concentrated along those corridors so they're not eating up farmland. So really, kind of what you're saying, moving to 100% renewable energy or really sustainability as a city is a whole city planning process. It touches every aspect of the city. And these grants from CCA will not likely be enough to cover, you know, those kinds of big ticket items. But that's something the city is talking about and working on separately. Because these are little amounts being added to people's utility bills, we don't want to add too much because we want to make sure that bulk purchase rate is actually a good rate without a bunch of add-ons, and that people can still afford the renewable energy.
Yeah, there's also bond issues that cities could do, and if the people of this country decide to cut the military budget in half, well, we'd still be by far the most powerful military country in the world. And there are many other ways of raising that money. A huge infrastructure coming out of the Congress could, in fact, make Columbus, maybe even your Columbus senators, if they were promised several billion dollars to make both Cincinnati, that's come a long way, another Ohio city, and Columbus, and your city, Grove City, they could really reconstruct their cities, and there's no reason why not, and it would really help the Ohio economy. This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole Variety Hour on Cable Radio, 90.7 Portland, Oregon. I'm talking to Kathy Collin Becker, who spearheaded the takeover electricity supply responsibility for Columbus and Grove City, Ohio. In a red state, Grove City, a majority and determined conservative base. Trump did extremely well, but so did, in fact, the takeover of electricity by the city. It was quite a victory that no one expected. Kathy Becker, one final issue I feel is necessary to talk about. It's sort of speculative, but I invite you to speculate along with me. The question is, how do we get there? How do we use our resources, not just for our cities, but for the rest of the people in U.S. North America and the people around the world? This has to be actually an international effort, but the U.S. could clearly lead the way. It has the resources. Mm-hmm. It also has the planners and the scientists, and it has people like Mark Jacobson at Stanford, who has studied every state in the union and shown how nearly every county of this union has sufficient sun and wind power so that a huge grid is not required. The trillions of dollars that the utilities are talking about are not necessary. And it would also be more reliable. No grid system is any more reliable than its weakest pylon, and there are hundreds and hundreds of them that snake through sensitive environmental areas and across rivers and mountains, thousands of miles of grid that are all at risk. In any event, localities have tremendous capacities for organizing people in the neighborhoods and the city as a whole to do so many things. One of them is conserving energy and reducing energy use and creating this sort of democratic crusade of the kind that people were involved in during World War II, fighting Nazi Germany and Japan. It seems to me that's necessary if we are ever going to really reconstruct our economy and the way we live. There's a lot of discussion about all of those goals. How large is that discussion? To what extent can you really involve people so that they begin seeing the possibilities and the necessity of going to 100% renewable? And is it possible to get people to participate, thinking about their neighborhoods, and how they could lower their use of energy and therefore the need for capital outlays to build new systems?
Right. So I can just speak from the point of view of the Ready for 100 campaign. So we have been working on this for the last 4 years or so, talking to the city, but also we did several public education, public outreach efforts. One was we launched a petition asking the city to move to 100% renewable energy, and we set a goal of getting 5,000 signatures on that petition. We did that in summer of 2019. We wouldn't have been able to do it during COVID in 2020, but in 2019, we tabled at dozens of community festivals and events, some small, some really big, and we got the 5,000 signatures on our petitions. Just getting those signatures gave us an opportunity to talk with people about renewable energy. You know, people love renewable energy, but they aren't sure it's possible. And letting them know, yes, this is possible. We have the technology. It's just a matter of finding a way to roll this out. And we've also done several film events and panel discussions and workshops and trainings. We did a program called Community Dialogues, and we especially looked at doing that in kind of low-income areas where people talk about what is the community they grew up in and what is the neighborhood like where they live now. If they could just construct their perfect neighborhood, what would that look like? getting people to think about the neighborhood in the current state that it is in to more of what they want it to look like. What kind of advocacy would they do? What kind of conversations would they have with their neighbors? We've done a lot over the last 4 years to just try to educate people in Columbus about renewable energy and sustainability, and what does a truly sustainable and healthy community look like. Now, we've also been talking to the city about that. The city is now working on its climate action plan, which will be out sometime mid next year, and they created a stakeholder advisory group, which two of us from Ready for 100 at Columbus are on. So they've gone through a couple of iterations with some different ideas of sectors to work in and action goals to try to meet, and they've floated it in front of their advisory group, and we've provided feedback. In general, we think the goals are a little too low, and we want to encourage them to increase those goals. So this aggregation commitment is, or program, will be part of that overall sustainability effort. In Columbus, it will lower emissions by 1.2 million metric tons, which is somewhere between 11 and 19% of the total emissions of the city of Columbus, depending on how you count. You know, either way, it's a big program. It lowers emissions a lot, but still a long way to go. So we're talking to them about things like, you know, what I mentioned before with the split incentive. They've done a lot of home energy audits, but actually providing help for people to upgrade and make the energy upgrades to bring down energy use. I guess they passed an ordinance that requires large building owners to benchmark and measure their energy use. Well, we'd like to see them actually starting to get these large building owners to lower that energy use. If they're going to give out a tax break to a new development, and there are a lot of new developments in Central Ohio because a lot of people are moving here, require those buildings to be LEED certified or a plan to get to net zero. They are starting to move city fleets to electric. We'd like to see the bus fleet become electric. They are doing a lot to build out charging infrastructure and encourage citizens to drive more electric vehicles. Love to see the municipal utility roll out, say, community solar projects and solar resiliency hub. Most cities don't have a municipal utility, but some do, and some are using it to do some really creative things. Cincinnati has done a thing called the 2030 district, where the buildings in that district have pledged to drastically lower their energy use. We'd like to see solar panels on schools and community centers. We'd like to see a public green bank to finance a lot of these investments. Columbus is doing a really good job with what's called PACE financing, Property Assessed Clean Energy, which allows, mostly used for large buildings, to finance energy upgrades on the property taxes. And Columbus is getting ready to roll out a residential version of that. You know, the city is doing a lot of things. They're looking into a lot of things, and we're just kind of encouraging them to go further and maybe think of some new things, because the science says we need to cut our emissions in half by 2030, and we hope that the city of Columbus will be able to do that.
Kathy Collin Becker, really good talking to you, and keep up reaching into the neighborhoods and getting commitments and generating this public dedication to really changing how we do business in this country. Thanks a lot for talking to us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.